Okay, UFC 300, it's almost here. So I've actually managed to get my video out semi on time this week. I've been slacking lately. I'm aware of that. But it's really exciting fights. You know, from the very opening fight to all the way up to the last, it's an absolutely stacked card. There's a couple of parlay busters in there as well. So I'm going to be going through the entire card from start to finish. Every fight with bits of information on every single one in a quick hit style so that we can get it wrapped up in around 20 minutes or so. Because you've got things to do. I understand that. People have lives. And sometimes you just want to get a quick run through of exactly what to expect from UFC 300. So let's get cracking. Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt will open up the early prelims. And this is an insane fight for the early prelims, honestly. Having the former flyweight champion fighting the former bantamweight champion, it just goes to cement how stacked this card is, in all honesty. So Figueiredo, he's coming up from 125 pounds. He was an absolute monster at 125. Monster power and really great squeeze on that guillotine as well. Some really good Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Cody Garbrandt, obviously, he was a world beater. When he beat Dominic Cruz for the bantamweight title, like a few years ago now, to be fair, he looked absolutely unbeatable. His footwork was absolutely insane. His boxing is crisp. He's got really great one-punch power. And we saw that in his last fight against Brian Barberena, to be fair. And since obviously losing those fights to Dillashaw was doping. Let's not forget that. And he's started to get back on the right track. So this is an interesting one. Figueiredo and his team, they keep on talking about how they're going to put Cody Garbrandt to sleep. The thing is, Figueiredo is going to be giving up quite a lot of size to Cody Garbrandt. He's 5'5", and he fought at flyweight for a reason. Cody Garbrandt wouldn't get down to flyweight. It's not happening, right? Garbrandt stands at 5'8". I think he's going to be able to use he's at a reach disadvantage, it says here, but he's still going to be able to use that height. And his footwork, I think, is going to be the key to stay on the outside. And I think that he's going to catch Figueiredo coming in, and people are forgetting how much power Cody Garbrandt has in his hands. Now, I only say that because Cody Garbrandt is an underdog, and he's an underdog that I quite like to get the win here by knockout. That is what I'm going for in that one. Then you've got Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. This is a great fight. So Bobby Green, obviously, we know him. He's a great boxer. Got some of the best boxing in MMA. Shoulder rolling his way to victory all the time. Jim Miller is an absolute savage, obviously. This is a huge fight for him because he fought at UFC 100, UFC 200, and now at UFC 300. I've got to see him at UFC 200. I'm a huge fan of Jim Miller's. I'm actually wearing my UFC 200 t-shirt right now. It's the one that I bought when I was there. Pretty nice. Not going to this one, though. I might try and see what's going on at the Sphere. Anyway, I digress. Jim Miller, his striking is good. He's got really good low kicks. But it's his grappling that's going to set him apart in this one. I'm picking Jim Miller in this fight because on the feet, I think you do have to favour Bobby Green. However, I think it's closer on the feet than it is on the ground. And I think that if Jim Miller, if he finds a way to get to the ground, the disparity is going to be huge. I think we'll see him get the submission in that one. Then you've got Jessica Andrade against Mariana Rodriguez. This one I like to call the parlay killer because I have absolutely no idea who's going to take this one. Jessica Andrade, former champion, power for days, great Muay Thai. We've seen that in her last few fights. She's gone on a few losses, but some very good people. But then, she looked really great on the feet against Mackenzie Dern. However, that is against Mackenzie Dern, and with the greatest of respect, Mackenzie Dern's stand-up is not the best. It might not be the best litmus test there. So Rodriguez, she's a very good striker. So her strike is probably going to look a lot better than Mackenzie Dern's. So let's see if Jessica Andrade can do the same thing that she did to Dern against Mariana Rodriguez. I don't think that she's going to be able to, because one thing that I noticed with Rodriguez is her elbows out the clinch. Very, very nasty. For me, this one is an absolute coin toss. Bookies have it that way as well. Andrade, I think she's fought the tougher competition, but not by much, honestly. And Rodriguez has looked really impressive recently. Is Andrade on the downward slope rather than the upward slope? So, I don't know. I just think that once it gets to the ground, the disparity, I think it's similar to Green versus Jim Miller. I think the disparity in the striking is not going to be as big as the disparity in the grappling. I think if Andrade finds a way to get to the ground, we will see that disparity in spades. So a submission for Andrade on that one for me. Then you've got Jalen Turner against Renato Moicano. Jalen Turner is an absolute monster. When he can make that weight cut, that's a hard cut for him, right? He's a lightweight, 155 pounder, but he stands 6'3", which is monstrous. He's got like a 5-inch reach advantage in this one as well, and he uses it well. His striking is fantastic. He's got a very good guillotine, and he's got really great ground and pound. We saw him nearly beat Bobby Green to death. Do you remember that one? The referee should have called that, honestly. That was nasty to watch. Real nasty. Moicano is just an elite level grappler. When you look at how many submissions that he's actually got on his record, I forget what the number is, but I think it's like 14, something like that. I don't know. I should have written that down. I didn't. Anyway, Moicano has got an awful lot of submissions. It's no secret what he's actually going for. So if he creates a scramble, he's going to be dangerous. But I like Turner here. He is an absolute monster. 14 wins, all of them finishes. He is a finisher. That's what I like about watching Jalen Turner. He goes out to turn people's lights out or to, you know, to get the submission. And I think Turner adds another finish to this one. I like the knockout. Then you've got Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez. So Youssef is predominantly a kickboxer. He's pretty good. He's got good power, got decent timing. His leg kicks are pretty nice. He's a pretty decent overall all-rounder. Now, Lopez is an absolute monster, I will say this. He lost his first UFC fight, but that was to Evloev, and Evloev's a monster in himself, so there's no shame in that loss. And then he proceeded to get two performance bonuses in a row, one for a knockout, one for a submission. He's got 9 knockouts, 12 submissions on his record. Lopez is an absolute beast. The path of least resistance, I do believe, for Lopez on this one is to get it to the ground, and that's why I'll be going for a submission in that one. Then you've got Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. So obviously Holly Holm, we know who she is. She's an elite kickboxer. Well, comes from a boxing background, but she throws kicks very well as well. Her takedown defense is pretty good. And actually, we saw her takedown offense against Megan Anderson looking really, really good. I don't think she pursues that strategy against her opponent, who is Kayla Harrison, who's an Olympic judo athlete, similar to Ronda Rousey, but just a lot bigger, actually. The weight cut's really big for Kayla Harrison. That might be something to take into account. Now, Holly Holm's a massive underdog in this fight. I'm half tempted to have a little bet on her just because the odds are extremely long. And you know what? Holly Holm has been around the top of the division. She's been fighting the elites for a very long time. However, I would say that she did struggle with the grappling of Mayo Buena Silva. And even before that one was overturned, she got done with a ninja choke, I believe. Anyway, Holm is also 42 now. I don't know. I think the odds on her looking better than she did against Ronda Rousey are slim. But I don't know. I think in the striking, Holly Holm has every chance to make Kayla Harrison look very silly here. But Kayla Harrison's takedowns are elite. And if she grabs a hold of Holly Holm, I think it's going to be very difficult for Holm to fight that off. And so I'm going to go for a decision. I don't think that she gets Holly Holm out of there. I'm going to take the Kayla Harrison decision in that one. Then you've got Kelvin Kattar taking on Aljamain Sterling. This one is a very interesting one because you've got somebody coming up from the lower weight class. So you've got Aljamain Sterling, obviously the champion, 135, who's the bantamweight champion. I apologize. Having a bit of a brain moment there. Calvin Kattar, 23-7, is fought at featherweight his entire career, from what I can see. So, look, Kattar is an absolute beast of a boxer. We saw him get pieced up by Max Holloway, but then he's come back since then and he's looked really, really good. His previous fight was a loss to Emmett, though. And then he got his knee injury. We've not seen him since 2022. So, we're going to see how much he has left in him. Because, look, he's 36 now. Normally, 35 is the drop off, and he's 36. So then you've got Aljamain Sterling. He's an elite 135er. We know that. He might be pound for pound one of the best to ever put on gloves at 135. He's now no longer got to do the weight cut. He looks big. He looks physical. His grappling is unbelievable. His wrestling is elite. His stand-up is pretty good as well, actually, honestly. He comes from different angles and he uses distance pretty well. I think that we're going to see a new, very good version of Aljamain Sterling in this one. He's also very smart. He's got a great fight IQ. He finds a way of getting ahead on scorecards, which is a really good skill to have. And Aljamain has that. I like a decision for this one for Aljamain Sterling. That's what I'm going for. Then you've got Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rakic. This one for me is another parlay buster because I don't really know which way to go. I keep on making a case for each one. I keep going back and forth on it. Jiří Procházka, he's just this unorthodox wild man. His strength is his crazy angles and strikes and he doesn't do anything correctly, but it works. Does that make sense? It's why he got caught against Alex Pereira, is because his chin is just out there all the time to be hit. But he does land a lot and he hits with insane power because he has got an insane amount of knockouts on his record. He really does. He will either win spectacularly or lose devastatingly. Or not so much in this one. I don't think he'll lose devastatingly. For me, Rakic, he's the kind of complete opposite striking style to Jiří Procházka. He's much more technical, he's much more precise, and his leg kicks especially, that's going to be something to watch out for. He's got really brutal leg kicks. We saw that against Anthony Smith. Gun to my head, I'm going to take Rakic in this one with no confidence at all. Whoever I bet on in this one, it's with no confidence because, look, I can see a universe where Jiří Procházka goes in there, throws some wild spinning back elbow Bruce Lee cross kick and then, and puts Rakic's lights out. But I can also very much see a scenario where Rakic just picks his lead legs apart, takes the wheels out from under him and just beats him to a decision and peppers him and just takes him into all three rounds and wins the decision. And that's what my bet is going to be on. My bet is going to be on the Rakic decision, but with no confidence whatsoever. And then, obviously, you've got the main card. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoy this content, all that good stuff. Bo Nickel against Cody Brundage. Some of the longest odds on the card. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think you've got Bo Nickel's a minus 1,300 favourite. So look, there's always going to be a scenario where Cody Brundage is not going there to lose. For me, Bo Nickel, look, if he gets the takedown, you're done. If he gets the takedown, you are done. He's either going to TKO you, ground and pound you, or he's going to get the submission. His wrestling is so high level that he just gets those takedowns. And he's... But that wrestling mentality is a tough one to beat because he is just a grinder and he's going to impose his will on you. Cody Brundage, look, he's not got the best record in the world. He's got knockout power. Half of his wins are by knockout. Look, if he can catch Bo Nickel coming in, look, I can see a universe where Cody Brundage knocks him out, but I don't think it's likely. So for that reason, I am going to go for the TKO for Bo Nickel. I think he gets a ground and pound finish in that one. Then you've got Charles Oliveira against Armin Sarukin. This one's a huge fight, actually, because for me, look, Charles Oliveira, he's a legend of the sport already. You know, he had his ups and downs. They came back. He won the title. He's got unbelievable Brazilian jiu-jitsu, especially with the back takes. When he gets on the back, it's generally over. His striking is also very good, if a little chaotic. He does tend to get into firefights and he gets knocked down and then people will go into his guard. And that's where people come unstuck. Now, Sarukin, he's an absolute monster. He's one of these Georgian guys. His wrestling is ridiculous. He actually had a very competitive fight with Islam Makhachev already. And that was a really competitive fight, one that I would love to see run back. I think he might be a problem for Islam Makhachev because he only keeps getting better and better and better. He's a physical specimen. His wrestling is elite. His kickboxing is also elite, especially the body kicks. The left body kick is something that he uses really, really well. And that's something that Charles is going to have to watch out for. Now, Charles is going to have a slight reach advantage, but if he gets drawn into a kickboxing match, I don't see how he wins that one. I think Sarukin's wrestling is probably good enough that he doesn't have to worry too much about going to the guard. He might just ground and pound him out. For me, as much as I want to see another fairy tale, kind of like Dustin Poirier turning back the new breed of fighter in Benoit Saint-Denis, I don't think we see that on this occasion. I think Dustin Poirier has used up all the fairy tale magic in that one. And I think we see a TKO, fairly dominant performance from Armin Sarukin, because I do think he's kind of the next breed. Then you've got Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway for the BMF title. This is taking place at lightweight. Obviously, Max Holloway's normal weight class is 145, which is the featherweight weight below. It's actually got him coming in at heavier than Justin Gaethje, but okay. Anyway. Now, this one's going to be an absolute war. Gaethje, he's just war personified. He goes out on his shield. He strikes, he kicks. He's just so... His chaos has been reined in slightly and kind of refined, if you will, by Mr. Trevor Whitman. When he moved over to Trevor Whitman has found a way of really kind of just harnessing that chaos and making it work much better for him. It's technical chaos now. It's absolutely brilliant, especially the low leg kicks. The low leg kicks really are a great weapon, and he's got fantastic reverse wrestling. It's very difficult to get him down. Max Holloway, obviously, he was the longtime featherweight champion. Some people say that he is the greatest to ever do it, and they wouldn't be out of their minds in saying that. His boxing is unbelievably good. He's going to have a speed advantage in this one, I believe, especially with the hands. He doesn't tend to kick nearly as much, but he's perfectly capable of doing so. But we did see the low leg kicks become a real problem for him when he fought Volkanovski the first time, I think it was. So that is a problem I can see in this one for Max Holloway. Gaethje throws the leg kicks better than almost anybody outside of Alex Pereira. And yeah, we've seen Holloway look susceptible to that before. Also, whilst they're going to be coming in at the same size, it's just, you know, Gaethje is going to be very, very physical. He's going to be a real problem to deal with. In a firefight that Max Holloway often gets drawn into, I do think that Gaethje is going to come out on top of that. I'm going to take the knockout for Gaethje in that one. And you've got Zhang Weili versus Yan Xianyan. This is the ladies' strawweight title fight. So Zhang Weili, she's an absolute monster, incredibly strong, great striking, great kickboxing. And she's such a freak athlete. She's very strong in the grappling areas as well. Now, Yan, she got an impressive knockout over Jessica Andrade a year ago, but she has losses to Carla Esparza, and we saw Zhang Weili just demolish Carla Esparza, so that's their opponent in common. For me, I just think that Zhang Weili is probably better in every single area. This one is not one of the fights I was like super excited about, just because I don't think it's going to be super competitive, but I do think it'll be a decision. Yan is tough, but Zhang Weili, on paper at least, should be better in every area of that fight. Then you've got Alex Pereira taking on Jamahal Hill for the light heavyweight title. We're going to get the undisputed light heavyweight title back, because basically Alex Pereira, he fought at middleweight all his career, won the middleweight title. He's only had 11 fights and he's already a double champ. This is how good this guy is. His low kicks are unbelievably good. He hides them very, very well. And he's just very good at finding that chin. His kickboxing pedigree is undeniable. We haven't seen too much of his grappling, but he does train Glover Teixeira. So I don't think it's fair to say that his grappling is lacking too much when he's training with guys like that. So Jamahal Hill, he won the title. He won the light heavyweight title from Glover Teixeira, and then he had to vacate due to an injury. So he didn't actually lose the belt. Now, Jamahal Hill is a monster. Like, he hits different. I've always said this. Jamahal Hill hits different. When you see him against Omar St. Preux, Johnny Walker, those kind of performances, watch what happens when he lands. It's because he doesn't look like he's punching hard, but he just draws these reactions out of people that, God, he just hits different. He has that power that you can't teach. Like, Alex Pereira obviously also possesses that power, but he's coming up from a lower weight class. We didn't see him get the finish in his... we saw him get the finish against Jiří Procházka, but that was a bit of an odd finish. And obviously, Alex Pereira does still have that stopping power, but I think that Jamahal Hill probably has that freakish one-punch power that when he touches you, people... You know, you go to sleep. So I don't see this being a massively grapple-heavy affair, because Jamahal Hill's never been that heavy of a grappler. I don't think Pereira is going to be engaged in that either. This is a wonderful main event in that respect, because they're probably just going to duke it out. I think the leg kicks from Pereira could be a problem for Jamahal Hill. However, I would say that Pereira got hit an awful lot against Jiří Procházka. Jiří Procházka has power as well, obviously, but he doesn't have that one punch, oh my God, nuclear option that Jamahal Hill has. If Pereira gets hit the same amount as he did against Jiří Procházka, I think that Hill knocks him out. I really believe that. We're going to also, one caveat on that, though, because that is my pick. I am taking Jamahal Hill by knockout, for better, for worse. However, I am aware of a couple of caveats on this, in that Jamahal Hill is coming back from a ruptured Achilles, which is a very hard injury to come back from. He hasn't even been gone for a year. Like most of the sports professionals I've seen on podcasts and things like that have kind of said this is pretty incredible, because it's hard to come back from that injury in such a short time frame. So we'll see. And that coupled with the leg kicks, I wonder if mobility might become an issue at some point in this fight. But for me, I'm rolling the dice on the power of Jamahal Hill. I just think that, you know, Pereira, he got tagged a lot against Jiří Procházka. If he gets tagged that same amount of times, I don't think the chin holds up against the power that Jamahal Hill possesses. But who knows, right? Who knows? It's, again, that one could be another parlay buster. But I'm looking forward to this event. It's an absolutely huge event. I'm probably going to do a barbecue if the weather's nice. How are you going to be watching it? Let me know in the comments. Let me know who you're betting on as well. I'll be doing some terrible bets on Saturday. Just some fun parlays to throw down. See if anybody, any of them even come close. And until next time, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.